Hello and welcome to People in Profit. I'm Charles Pellegrin. It's been 51 years since the French state last ran a budget surplus. Every lap around the sun since 1974, more money has left the government's coffers than has come in, which leads us to the situation we're in today. The country's public debt now totals 3.3 trillion euros. It used to be just over 30 billion euros in 1974. And France's public deficit is at 5.8% of GDP, about 169 billion euros in the red. 50 years earlier, the French state was 7 billion euros in the black. And the latest attempt at fixing the country's public finances has once again hit a wall. Former Prime Minister François Bayrou's plan to cut spending and the deficit was so unpopular with Parliament that it led to his government's collapse. So where do we stand now? Well, Brian Quinn tells us more.
Since 1999, the EU has required member states to keep their annual deficits at less than 3% of GDP and overall national debt at under 60% of GDP. As France's mounting debt pile raises concerns for regulators and creditors, its sharply divided political parties have sharply divergent plans for getting back on track. For President Macron's centrist minority, new Prime Minister Sébastien Lecornu inherits a budget plan targeting just under 44 billion euros in savings next year, with a goal of bringing the deficit to under 3% within 4 years. Among its provisions, freezing welfare and pension payouts at this year's levels, doubling co-pays for medications, reducing aid for long-term illnesses, cutting local government budgets, and, especially controversial, the scrapping of two public holidays. The center-left Socialist Party's plan targets just over 21.5 billion euros in deficit reduction, with a 7-year timeline to get under 3%. It focuses on increased revenues, nearly 27 billion euros worth, combined with 14 billion in spending cuts and just over 19 billion in stimulus spending. Its headline measures include a tax hike on stock dividends, a reduction in state aid to large companies, and a crackdown on corporate tax shelters. Proponents of what is known as the Zuckman tax, a 2% wealth tax on fortunes of over 100 million euros, say it would bring in some 15 billion euros per year, though some economists say 5 billion is a more likely figure. Though the far-right national rally has abandoned its former goals of exiting both the EU and the euro, the party's nationalist, anti-immigrant slant remains present in its budget plans. A 3.3 billion euro cut to France's EU contributions, accompanied by a proposal to cut spending on healthcare for immigrants by 4 billion euros. An overall 13.7 billion euro savings goal, accompanied by 23 billion in additional spending via reductions in the value-added tax on energy and basic necessities, that gap to be made up for by a supposed rebalancing of the tax burden to focus on profits, speculation, and fraud, including a 33% tax hike on corporate stock buybacks. With the far ends of the political spectrum at odds, and even the more centrist opposition parties loath to collaborate, finding sufficient compromise to pass a new budget by the end of the year will be a Herculean task for the country's next government.
Well, to help us make sense of this political and economic chaos is Alexandra Roulet. She's an associate professor of economics at INSEAD and a specialist on France's fiscal and macroeconomic issues. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you. Very happy to be with you.
So looking back at Macron's presidency, the opposition keeps throwing around the figure that he added 1 trillion euros to the French debt pile. Where did he go wrong? Was it the COVID crisis followed by the energy crisis brought on by the war in Ukraine? Or is there more to it than that?
So there is definitely the COVID crisis followed by the energy crisis that led to the surge in debt. Now, the question, I think, is, there is a debate as to Macron also did a lot of tax cuts to spur the economy. And there's a debate to what extent these tax cuts contributed to the deficit, the situation that we are in. But I think the question is really now that we are in this situation, you know, we have to look ahead and we have to try to find the compromise that we can to try to put our debt back on a sustainable path.
Well, on the left side of the political spectrum, we mentioned it, all it talks about increasing taxes on the rich using that Zuckman tax, which is set at 2% minimum tax on the wealth of the richest individuals. What's your take on this? Would it lead to an exodus of the country's biggest fortunes? What effect would it have?
So I think, I mean, the Zuckerman tax comes, now it's at the center of the public finance discussion, but I think the proposal came actually before, and the idea is to try to correct the fact that at the very top of the wealth distribution, people are able to avoid taxes, in particular because a big part of their revenue is going to flow through their holding society in the form of dividends and then avoid taxation that way. And so I think that the idea to try to make sure that everyone pays its fair share of taxes is a good one. And for that reason, you know, these proposals have to be studied and taken seriously. Now, a key in this proposal is that the professional assets are to be included in the tax base. It's key because this is the way that you can avoid tax. You're precisely trying to go after tax avoidance. But the problem is, of course, it raises also a lot of concerns about what would be the effect on the economy. What would be the effect for people whose company is valued, very highly, but the company does not yet generate, a lot of revenue. Like a case in point would be Mistral. And so, how exactly do you do it? I think it's really in how do you write the proposal that we have really to discuss now in order to make sure that we can, on the one hand, go after the tax avoidance mechanism, but on the other hand, make sure we protect our economy and in particular, our incentives to innovate.
Looking at the various proposals that were detailed in the report we just saw, do you believe that any of the political forces in France have a credible plan to restore public finances?
Look, I think that given the amount of adjustment that we need to do, we will need to do a little bit of everything. You know, and I think because also given the political situation that we are in, we will need to be doing both a reduction in spendings, both a tax on the ultra rich, as we were discussing, both, you know, like we will need to do a bit of everything. So I don't, and I think that, you know, the best is to try to have the burden of the effort shared across multiple groups of people in the society. And so, you know, personally, I think that we can discuss each detailed measure, but what's sure is that we will need a sum of all of these measures.
Mm-hmm. A fair distribution of the burden is exactly the question that's being thrown around right now, especially with French people taking to the streets this week to voice their dissatisfaction with the status quo. How do you think the state of public finances plays into popular discontent as we're seeing right now?
No, I think, I mean, the popular discontent, I think, goes beyond, beyond the state of public finance. We had popular discontent at the moment of the pension reform. We had it before during the yellow vest. Each time, it's actually slightly different sociology of who's in the street and, you know, what's the exact reason. I think, you know, like people are unhappy in part because they would like to have, you know, better pay growth, a better economy. I mean, a big part of the problem is not just the public finance. It's in some sense, it's more the macro economy, right? It's the fact that our growth rate is not so high. I mean, if we had, you know, like very high productivity gains or very high growth rate like we had, you know, back 50 years ago and more than that, 60 years ago, everything would be easier, both the consolidation of public finance, but also how people see their own situation. So I think, you know, what's the thing that is important to understand is that, you know, it's important for people to be able to voice their discontent for sure. But at the same time, you know, right now what we need is from the political leaders is to find a compromise that can pass the assembly that we have, which is a divided assembly, but it is what it is, and that allows us to put our debt back on track. You know, like it's a very simple objective, and I think that again, this will mean that not everything in the budget will please everyone. Because it's going to be a compromise.
We keep talking about debt, obviously, but what's the effect of this political instability and paralysis on economic growth?
So I think, I mean, this definitely has a cost, right? This instability. So we saw it through the rates at which we borrow, right? We saw that we had the spreads increased, and so this is costing us, and it's making the public finance equation even harder. Now the thing is, there is not much we can do about this instability, because it's just, I mean, unless people, you know, no party has the majority, right? So by definition, unless we go in the form of a coalition, or unless parties make some kinds of agreements, it is going to be, you know, it is going to be very unstable, right? If people that are not, you know, all the opposition party decide to throw down the government each time, you know, we're going to have a new prime minister every 3 months. That's going to what's going to happen, right? And so there is not much we can do about it at this point. We just have to hope that this time around the member of parliament managed to find a compromise.
And one final question. Actually, France had no issues finding buyers for its government bonds on the sale that took place on September 4th. It just had to promise much higher yields. Why is it that French debt remains relatively attractive on the bond market?
You know, look, we have, you know, we still have, you know, a very reliable country. Okay, you know, we might change prime minister, but our institutions are stable. We have, you know, a lot of, you know, we are a large country. We are liquid, there's a lot of assets in France as well, in terms of our technology, our skilled workforce. We know that probably we will need to increase a bit our taxes. Probably we will need to maintain our pension reform the way it was decided a couple of years ago. Probably we'll need to reduce spendings in some way or another. So these things are going to happen, one way or the other. And so I think that is also reassuring the investors, right? Because they know that ultimately we will have to do it.
Alexandra Roulet, you're an associate professor of economics at INSEAD. Thank you so much for sharing your insights and giving us much needed context on this discussion.
Of course, my pleasure. Thank you.
Well, that's all for this week. Hopefully you now all have a better grasp of France's financial and political situation. As usual, if you want to catch our previous episodes, you can do so on the People and Profit page of the France 24 app or on the podcast platform of your choice. Thank you for watching, and stay tuned.